Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining me on the line is Nicholas Wolpe, the CEO of Lily's Leaf History Museum. It used to be called Lily's Leaf Farm, didn't it?
That's correct, but that was a farm back in the 60s. And what happened was over the years, the farm part fell away. In fact, I had a very amusing incident with the people who purchased Lily's Leaf in the early 50s, because Lily's Leaf got its name from the village of Lily's Leaf in the borders of Scotland. And it had two L's. And I went to interview the daughter, and for the first hour of the interview, she refused to talk to me until I had explained to her why the second L had disappeared. And it was like blasphemy. She said, "I'm not talking to you until you give me an explanation as to what happened to the second L." And I said, "I don't know. When we bought Lily's Leaf in 2002, the second L had vanished, and that's how we bought it, and we continued without the second L." And she went ballistic with me. I mean, it was like I committed the biggest sin on this planet because I didn't put back the second L.
That's so funny. Yeah, we get like that with grammar sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, just saying. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for joining me on this public holiday.
My pleasure.
I was very sad to read this article about how badly the virus or the pandemic has affected Lily's Leaf. Obviously, you're not having the visitors, you're not having the groups, you're not having the tourists. Where do things stand now?
I have to actually step back before COVID, because I think what COVID has done, it has shined a spotlight on the fragile nature of the industry. And when I talk about the industry, I'm talking about art, culture, and heritage. And I think what COVID has done is showed how fragile this industry is.
Yeah.
That on its own, left to its own devices, we cannot survive because we're not there to make profit. Some theatres are. Some are community theatres. There are a lot of independent historical sites. You know, and I keep saying this in all my interviews, Lily's Leaf is very fortunate because we're so high profile. And I feel it's partly a responsibility to talk about the industry in its totality, because what is affecting Lily's Leaf is affecting so many other independent historical institutions and sites. I mean, look what happened to the Afflefugard Theatre in District 6. Look what's happening to the Peter Dirk Ace Theatre in Darley.
Sure.
They're all affected. So the point I'm trying to make here is that prior to COVID, we struggled. We struggled to remain sustainable. We struggled to raise the funds to support the income that we were generating, because the income we were generating was never going to be sufficient to meet the full operational expenditure and running costs of running places like Lily's Leaf. What COVID has done is it's created a double whammy. What do I mean by that? Firstly, as you said, there are no tourists. There are no visitors coming through. And that means that and we don't have conferences, which means what income we were generating fell off the cliff and is now zero. Coupled with the fact that we struggle to raise operational funding, that is where we now find ourselves in this particular situation, struggling to survive at the verge of, you know, basically insolvency.
Yeah, because that was your pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. As you say, it showed us how fragile, you know, there were lots of businesses with pre-existing conditions that, you know, did one ever think that we would see the end of airlines, that we would see the end of Cosmopolitan magazine, darn it.
Yes.
You know, but pre-existing conditions.
Say, yes, darn it, because, I mean, Cosmopolitan was, I used to read it occasionally because it carried some very interesting articles.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay, so Nicholas, tell me where to from here. What are you hoping to see, and how are you going to build a sustainable model?
Well, again, if I may just kind of take a step back, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think the bottom line is, you know, we must recognize that this sector can never build a sustainable model on its own. I think that's paramount. It's important to understand that we're not in existence, particular museums, historical sites of memory, and certain community theatres, which play a very important role, just like, to some degree, community radio stations.
Sure.
They're not there necessarily to make a profit. They're there to service and serve the community. We're there to ensure that the history of our liberation struggle, the meaning of our liberation struggle, is kept alive, that what we struggle for is preserved and is inculcated and entrenched into our psyche and our DNA. So I think that's a very important aspect, that we must acknowledge that. And within that context, we have the problem, in my opinion, that we as a country do not value history. We don't value history. We don't
value
the importance of it. Yeah. We don't recognize its significance. Because if we did, one of the things is we wouldn't be debating about whether we should make history compulsory. It should be a no-brainer, a non-starter. History should be compulsory. And I always talk about my experience in Cuba in 2012 when I went to Cuba. Do you remember the movie Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Well, I felt that every day was Groundhog Day. When I woke up every morning, I felt that it was Groundhog Day, that the revolution had just happened the day before.
Wow.
Because you walk out, it's in your face, it's everywhere you go, it's pervasive, but not in a heavy sense. It's there to remind us of what the revolution was about. People lived and breathed it. And I came up with the phrase, Cuba is history and history is Cuba. We, on the other hand, don't have that philosophy, mentality, or approach. That's why we are where we are today to some degree, because history forms the fundamental basis of creating a cohesive, unified society where we all are pulling in the same direction. It is what grounds us together, what binds us together. And we don't have it. It's pushed to the periphery. I mean, the fact that we don't have, again, a Department of Arts and Culture on its own speaks volumes. The fact that we have never included the word heritage in the heading or the name of the department speaks volumes. It tells a huge story. The absence of the word heritage, the absence of a department, says where we view and how we consider the importance of history in our, call it, our societal edifice. And also, within that context, you know, government has this very archaic approach saying that you can only secure funding if you're a cultural institution, if you're owned by government. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. You know, everywhere else in the world, governments provide grants, provide support, provide assistance to support these very important institutions in providing what ultimately is a critical service.
Nicholas, are you saying that the government doesn't give you funding from the Department of Arts and Culture?
Yeah, we lost all the funding we received was 6 years ago last March. This previous March.
And because what about the ANC? I mean, the ANC, this is the place where the Rivonia trialists were arrested.
Yeah, but I mean, we all know the ANC struggle as well for funding. But it's not about whether we should get funding from a political party. This is about this history of what Lily's Leaf is about, is a history of our country, of our people, and what our struggle is about. It speaks to the Freedom Charter. It speaks to the preamble that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white.
Absolutely.
It's not about whether it should be supported by a political party or not. That, to me, is irrelevant. It is about the fact that this is a place for the people. And in that context, government should be there to say, how can we support? How can we help? You're playing a critical role in providing not just Lily's Leaf, but all of these historical independent sites that are struggling.
Unbelievable. Nicholas Wolpe, I feel like we need to continue this conversation, but we're out of time, unfortunately. So maybe we can get you back on air, perhaps one morning with Howard, or with Simon, my colleague, when he's back. But really, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And I'm going to give you a call after the show. I've got some ideas.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.